6:10 on this Tuesday afternoon. Hey, everyone, this is Your Money Matters. I'm John Hanson, and here are the numbers that matter. The S&P and the Dow down just a little bit. NASDAQ eked out a win. Hey, we'll take it today. Gas prices up again, although just slightly. We've slowed down that increase. 502, your national average. Illinois at 556, still near $6 a gallon in Cook County. Wisconsin just under $5, 521 in Indiana, and diesel up to a new record high of 578. Confidence among small business owners in the U.S. flatlined in May for the second consecutive month. Expectations for future business conditions, those continue to deteriorate. And the cost of wholesale goods and services jumping 0.8% in May, adding to mounting evidence that we may not be past the peak and inflation could persist through the summer. And those are the numbers that matter here on Your Money Matters. Thanks so much for joining us here today, not only to you listeners, but to Leo Harmon, who is the co-CIO of Mesro Equity Management. Leo, thanks for hopping on again.
Hey, John. Good to be with you again today.
We got to hang out the whole hour yesterday waited out the storm.
It was fun. There's a famous quote that climate is what you expect and weather is what you get. So here we are.
Yeah, when you came in the studio, it was sunny and all things changed. But I'm glad we have you here. A little bonus time. And now we're in this Fed meeting time. And you and I talked off air a little bit about this. Will it be a half point? Will it be a three-quarter point increase? And the Fed is kind of between a rock and a hard place no matter what they choose. Can you explain that a bit?
Yeah, it's really difficult for the Fed because this is a really big conundrum. After adding so much monetary liquidity into the system, really over the last 25 years, you know, they've run out of dry powder in order to effectuate a soft landing. Now we're in a point where they are forced to fight inflation, and they're stuck between trying to land the plane by fighting inflation without creating a recession in the process. And so they're looking at 50 basis points or 75 basis points tomorrow as a rate increase. And at the end of the day, it may not matter longer term. Shorter term, sure. I think there is a bias in the market right now and a sentiment that if the Fed is more aggressive, that they are in control and they can get ahead of the curve instead of being behind the curve, and investors are interested in seeing that. But just a few weeks ago when we had that market rally, people were happy when Fed Chairman Powell took the prospect of a 75 basis point increase off the table. And so the market seems to be oscillating between what they want from the Fed, depending on rates of inflation. But at the end of the day, we're still baking in another 200 basis points of increase after this.
No matter what, it's not stopping tomorrow.
Exactly.
Right. So we're going up.
And so that's the biggest conundrum, is how much and how aggressive the Fed is going to be, and what is the ultimate result of that aggression, whether you get a recession, and probably as importantly, if you do, when do you get it? It makes a huge difference whether something like that occurs in 2023 or in 2024, or conversely, do we have enough confidence that the Fed can actually land a plane?
Yeah, and you know what's so hard about it is no matter what we find out tomorrow in these meetings, is that these aren't immediate effects. I mean, it takes a while for Fed action to, you know, make its way to the grocery store, right?
It does. I mean, even in markets, historically, when we see the Fed increase, usually something bad happens. It's not always a recession, but usually something cracks, something goes wrong in the system. That usually takes about 18 to 24 months. So the Fed started raising rates back in 2022. You fast forward, you would expect something bad to happen in the end of 2023 and early 2024. That's a long way away.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of room for the market to move and navigate around. If you start to bring those prospects closer to 2023, you start to reflect more downside in the market. And that's, I think, what we're really grappling with. When we see a lot of volatility in the market, whether or not that downside move in the economy is going to be closer to 2023 or is going to be pushed out further to 2024.
We'll have plenty more time in our next segment to talk specifically about Mesro, what you guys do and how you can help people. But I guess I just want to know from the average investors sitting listening to this conversation right now, these half point, three quarter points, I mean, unless you're retiring in a year, I mean, does it matter? I hate to put it like that. I know it matters to the everyday spending, but in terms of your retirement plans, if you've got some runway to work with here, do you need to be so tuned into every moment that happens?
You really shouldn't be. Maybe on the margin. Mm-hmm. If you have marginal assets that you're trying to place into the market and you're trying to make a decision today about an incremental investment, mm-hmm. maybe you want to wait and get more clarity as to what the Fed is going to do. But as far as your long-term plan is concerned, we always preach diversified portfolios with long-term objectives. And if you are 15 to 20 years from retirement, that means you still have another 15 to 20 years left after retirement to live and work. So
right.
you're really looking at a 25 or 30 year time horizon. You really shouldn't be impacted by small moves in the Fed. And you shouldn't necessarily let that broadly impact the asset allocation in your portfolio.
Got to pace yourself. I don't want to be worrying for the next 30 years every single darn day what the Fed's going to do.
Absolutely.
More with Leo Harmon, the CIO of Mesirow Equity Management, in a moment. We've got Leo Harmon from Mesirow. St. Rita legend, I hear. Football legend.
Not quite a legend, but I tried my best.
And you're still playing football to this day, you just told me during the break.
Yeah, I still play a little football, a little flag football with folks half my age, and I try to keep up with them as best I can.
What was harder, playing with them or the markets the last couple days?
Well, playing with them, definitely.
Let's talk about your clients in Mesirow. What are they asking you right now, right? I mean, I imagine there's a lot of people. Should we stick with the plan? Do we need to change the plan? What are they telling you?
Yeah, I think the clients are asking the same thing that the rest of the world is asking. I think the biggest thing is what they demand of us. And what our clients are really demanding at this point, whether they're institutional or individual, are...
And institutional, you mean
institutional,
hedge funds?
Hedge funds, pension plans, that sort of thing.
Right.
Individual, high net worth clients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you're on either side of that spectrum, what you're really looking for are managers and advisors that have been through market cycles, that understand what this environment is like,
mm-hmm.
Can help you navigate through your portfolio, and probably as importantly, know how you're positioned. And can understand where you have benefits and where you may have potential headwinds in this type of market environment. And so that's the biggest thing that they're asking. The second biggest thing is really access to differentiated product. Looking for products that can enhance growth, enhance income, can reduce risk.
And when you say products, what do you mean by that?
I mean products like dividend paying vehicles, or you know, our small cap product, particularly our sustainability fund that differentiates itself from the marketplace, or customized solutions that our wealth advisors can provide that will run the spectrum of low risk to high risk. They're looking for that type of advice in this market environment as to really how they want to position their portfolio and what types of investment vehicles will help them once they decide on how to allocate their assets.
I know that nowadays getting and participating in the market has never been easier, right? There's free access for people to jump in. And I think a lot of people say, I can do a lot of it on my own. And maybe there is a certain extent where people can do a fair amount on their own. But what you're talking about is kind of like this next level. I kind of feel like I'm seeing in full color when you describe what you have, right? Like there's a prism of colors that we don't see if we just don't have the experience. Like I only know of a few channels from where, and I host a financial show, right? But you and people at Mesirow, I mean, you just kind of know these other areas that maybe average investors may have no idea exist.
It's experience, it's access, it's news flow. And it's not that you as an individual investor can't take control over some elements of this, but mm-hmm. if you're working a full-time job every day, it's hard for you to keep up with every heartbeat of the market. It's hard for you to put together a cohesive strategy and then change that tactically as market data changes. And you will find yourself behind the curve if you don't necessarily have an advisor that's on top of that, who's willing and able to help you, particularly in times like this, navigate through all of the volatility in the market.
I mentioned some people's apprehension may be, well, they're just going to plug it into an algorithm and I'm just a number maybe to them. I imagine that's not the approach you take. I mean, it's a very individual thing, right? You want to know people's goals, what they want their retirement to look like.
I think lots of investors, whether they're large or small, or a high net worth or don't have a lot of money are looking for that customization. And so we always look at clients from an individual standpoint, understanding their investment time horizon, understanding their risk tolerance, understanding their need for cash flow and income, and particularly for our individual clients, understanding any tax implications that come along with that. And we really want to be able to customize portfolios that help them to meet their needs and objectives along that time frame.
Because the reality is, I mean, everyone's retirement or years until retirement, they have different goals in mind, right? I mean, everyone kind of has a different plan. I think a lot of people actually haven't thought through it all the way. And I imagine that's some of the questions you ask them.
Yeah, we have to spend a lot of time asking them. Most people are just involved in their work, involved
right. They're just trying to make the money. They don't think about what to do with it, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And so we want to be in a position where we can offer advice and products that will help meet their needs and objectives. And as those objectives change over time, particularly in times like today, you know, our wealth advisors are working very hard with their clients to, you know, tilt portfolios, to rebalance the portfolio, particularly in an environment that's going to have rising inflation. Their cash flow needs may change. Their mm-hmm. income needs may change. And you're going to want an advisor that can help navigate you to products and services that are going to help meet your new needs as well as your old plan.
Plus, you can sleep an extra couple hours a night.
That would be great.
And then you're looking at it, right? Mesro, independent, employee-owned. Why does that make a difference to an advisor?
It makes a huge difference. Our professionals act as owners of the firm. That means that our success is aligned with their success. On my team, for instance, everyone on my team, with the exception of the new people who have just joined, are shareholders of Mesro, mm-hmm. and everyone on our team is invested in the products that we invest in. And so we like to say we eat what we cook. And yeah. Throughout Mesro, there's a sense of ownership that drives our success and aligns it with that of our clients.
We've talked about plane analogies so far, pretty much. And I always say I don't mind a financial advisor or a pilot that has a few gray hairs. And I also like that, just like a pilot, we both have the same goal of mind. I don't care if I'm a passenger. We both want this plane to land. And just like an advisor, if you're part of that company, you're part of an owner of that company, you all want to go up.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely
great. Leo, I can't thank you enough for your grace in sitting here with me last night during that crazy storm and coming back today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, John.
For
we
sure.
appreciate it.
And we look forward to more conversations with Mesro, usually on Mondays, storm pending. I like the alliteration of Mesro Mondays. You go to Mesro, MESIROW.com. Take care, Leo, okay?
You too.
Let's take a break in the news, then more Your Money Matters on after this. Hey, this is Your Money Matters, a show that looks at stories from a financial angle. And something I always talk about is side hustles, make it a little extra cash if you can. 312-981-7200 if you've got one you're proud of. Free pub of it here. We've had so many people calling in since the show launched. We've had people that teach pasta classes. We've had a woman who produces a podcast with a porn star. We've had a lot of unique things along the way. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to add yours. Call in right now. A couple weeks ago, we had someone named Jake call in on Your Money Matters. And for his side hustle, he works with Songfinch, which is a company, if you haven't heard of, they write original music for you in any occasion you want. I don't know, you're getting married, you got a new dog. Well, guess what? There's someone that will make a high-quality song for you about that for a relatively affordable price. I think he said $200, which, you know, is not nothing. But what is great about it is it's not like this company, this no-name company, takes it. It's Songfinch. And then they pay an artist who gets to then create it, right? So it's a great way for artists to make a little cash on the side, their own side hustles. I imagine being a musician is one lifelong side hustle, much like the broadcasting industry, and it's a great way for them to make a little money. So Jay came on the show, and I said, oh, you should make a Your Money Matters song. And I was mostly joking. And I got a text today from Jake, and it's the song. I want to give this artist credit. We're not going to play the whole thing here. It's 2.5 minutes. It's a bopper. Is that what you call it, an earworm? I don't know. It gets in your head. The artist's name is Nick Isham. I hope I'm saying that name right. And here's a little bit of the song, Your Money Matters.
Coming to you live from Chicago, 720 AM, WGN Radio. John Hanson stepping on the mic. Better listen up right now. He's gonna let you know how to build your wealth and get your life right now. Welcome to the world of finance, with experts and conversations that'll get you believing. Your money matters, make your pockets get fatter. We'll climb the ladder together and we'll keep moving up. Cause your money matters, with every chapter you'll write the pages every day and you'll be the master. Cause your money matters.
Not bad there. Your money matters. And now we got an original song. We've only been around since February, Mary Vandeveld, and
That's awesome.
Wasn't that good?
He sounds a little Justin Bieber-y.
Well, yeah. It is poppy, right?
Yeah.
And the chorus goes on. I listened to the whole thing. It got in my head all day long, and not just because my name's in it. But that's Songfinch, and that's someone's side hustle right there on this show. How about that?
Yeah, my son-in-law is a musician, and I just told him about Songfinch.
Yeah.
So he was, like, all over it. He's like, oh.
Well, that's cool. Make a little cash on the side.
Yeah.
Plus, you get to, you know, kind of test your creative brain. And I imagine half the hard part about coming up with a song is the inspiration, right?
Yeah.
And when you have a client, they tell you what it is.
Exactly.
I got a new Labradoodle. Write a song about it. A lot of things rhyme with doodle. You just go from there.
Schnoodle noodle.
Schnoodle, right, exactly. Well, Mary, instead of making a song about me and you, we should become the artists.
Oh, who's going to sing?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. That's a great question. By the way, I do have a question of the day today. 312-981-7200 if you want to win a prize. Here it is. You think inflation is bad here in the States at the grocery stores. A new report out of India shows the price of what grocery item has gone up 168% in 1 year. 312-981-7200. Inflation's bad here, but in India, one grocery item has gone up 168% in a year. Tell us the grocery item and you'll win the prize. 312-981-7200. Call right now. We'll talk about how much more money your CEO is making than you in just one moment. But our question of the day today, you think inflation's bad here in India? There's one grocery item that has gone up 168% in the past year. Mary thinks she has an answer. Good evening, Mary. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. What's your guess?
My guess is rice.
Rice. Great guess, right? India, obviously a lot of rice. No, it's not rice, but you're on the right track, Mary. Thanks for calling, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, that's Mary's guess. Had someone guess eggs, and I think that that's the pain we've been feeling. Eggs are up an incredible amount. But it's not rice. 168% in the past year. What has gone up that much in India? 312-981-7200. If you've got a guess, maybe we'll get a couple more answers in before the end of the show. But let's pivot over to Juliana Kaplan from Insider. Juliana, thanks for hopping on the line with us here tonight.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
This, I think these numbers are kind of eye-popping. I'm hoping you can break them down for us. We've talked for years now about the gross difference between what CEOs make and what average wage earners make. And while wage earners have been earning a little bit more than the past year, it's nothing compared to what CEOs are making, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What are the numbers? I mean, how much more are CEOs making before than what they used to and more than us?
Yeah, so, you know, there's a few different reports. One that we focused on, and this is a very, really recent report from the Institute for Policy Studies, looked at 300 companies that are traditionally, like, low-wage companies. And at those companies, CEOs made 670 times more than their workers on average, which is an even wider gap than 2020. So this was looking at 2021 filings. In 2020, they only made 604 times more, which is still a pretty big gap.
And when I look at kind of the top ones or some ones that stand out to us locally, there's Yum Brands that's at the 100 or 2,108 to 1. But there's some that are way higher than that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think if I remember correctly, at about 49 of the companies, so there are 300 companies that they looked at in this particular study, the rate pay ratio was over 1,000 to 1.
It's incredible.
So it is pretty prevalent.
Yeah, and look, it's not a new phenomenon, but has this gap been widening or are we just now paying more attention?
Yeah, I mean, this gap has been widening for decades. So a different study from the Economic Policy Institute, and this is as of 2020, and as we know, in 2021, the gap widened even further. So I imagine this gap is even bigger. But from 1978 to 2020, CEO compensation has grown by 1,322%. So that's pretty big growth. And during that same period, the typical worker saw their pay rise by about 18%.
18 versus how much was that first number?
1,322.
Okay. Now, I know that that shocks a lot of people, maybe, or maybe doesn't shock people. And some people might get angry by it, but I imagine that they would say, look, highly compensated employees like CEOs are a rare bunch, and they make companies a lot of money. They make shareholders a lot of money. And there's got to be a competition. And that competition amongst qualified and extraordinary CEOs is what drives prices up. Is that what businesses say is the reason for it?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of businesses would argue that the value out of a CEO might be the reason for the compensation. Also, a lot of CEO compensation packages obviously include stock. So the CEO has, you know, an obligation and sort of a desire to make sure the company is being as profitable as possible, obviously, because then the value of their compensation will go up. Yeah, and that's also a reason where we saw a lot of CEOs saying that they weren't going to take their salary. They're only going to take like a dollar during the pandemic, but they still had all of those stock options as well.
Right.
So that's like a big part of the compensation.
I know this has entered our political sphere as well. Is there any legislation on the horizon or anyone talking about trying to curb this?
Yeah, so perhaps not surprisingly, Senator Bernie Sanders has been all over this, as has Senator Elizabeth Warren, both of whom I think have been pretty outspoken for the need on greater taxation for high earners and especially, you know, big companies and CEOs. And so in 2021, they introduced what was called the Tax Excessive CEO Pay Act, and that was aimed at companies that make at least, I believe it's $100 million for 3 years consecutively, and that legislation would essentially put an additional tax on companies where the CEOs make at least 50 times more than their typical worker, and that tax would sort of go up by how big the gap is. So in the case of the numbers we're breaking down, for instance, all those companies where CEOs are making 1,000 times more, their companies would owe an additional 5% in corporate tax, so essentially trying to disincentivize the company from paying their CEOs so much more.
I imagine other people would say, well, it's a free market, and they're obviously having to make decisions. They're not bankrupting their own companies by paying their CEOs that much. Obviously, that wouldn't work, and that would defeat the entire purpose. But is there any sign that this could ease up, or is this just continue to accelerate, and at least the numbers don't bear out any slowdown to this gap widening?
Yeah, I mean, I would say in terms of like the compensation they're being given, we certainly haven't seen a slowdown. We have seen, you know, quite a few high profile CEOs see their total compensation drop, but that's because of what's happening with the stock market and not because their compensation is being slashed by anyone else.
Right.
So for now, this trend seems to be sticking around, and we saw a lot more billionaires minted throughout the pandemic as well.
Yeah, for sure. Juliana Kaplan, thanks for breaking this down for us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
For sure, from Insider. You can read more at businessinsider.com. They do great work over there. Interesting analysis. We'll have to wait and see if any politicians are able to be successful in that or whether the market will take care of it ourselves. Well, we got a lot of guesses now on the line for the answer to the question of the day. Let's see if we get an answer here before the end of the show. What grocery item has gone up 168% in India? Let's go to Ray. Hey, Ray, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you doing? I'm calling you from South Bend, Indiana.
Hey.
I know the answer. I know it's right.
All right, what is it?
It is chicken.
Burn.
It's not chicken.
Ray. I like your confidence, though, Ray. I appreciate that. I wish everyone could have the confidence to walk through life like Ray does.
Well, you better look up chicken because it's really close. But if I didn't get it right exactly, it's close too. So it's gone way up.
As I always say to the question today, there might be two right answers. I just haven't looked it up. Thanks, Ray. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Let's go to Mike. Oh, thanks, Ray. Sorry to cut you off there. Mike, what's your guess?
Hey, how about toilet paper?
That's a great guess. I see where you were going with my clue of you're getting closer. No, that's not the answer, though. Great call, though, Mike. Let's go to Pam. Hey, Pam, what's your guess?
Curry.
No. Well, you might be getting closer there. Great guess, though. Let's go to Brian. Hey, Brian.
Hey there.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
168% up in India for what item?
Well, I don't have the same confidence that Ray does, but I'll throw out wheat.
Well, for good reason you don't. It's not the right answer. But wheat's going up everywhere. It's a great guess, though, Brian. Have a good one, okay?
Thanks. You too.
Let's go to Tess. Tess, any guesses?
I'm guessing lentils.
Lentils have gone up. I just bought some lentils here, and they were up a little bit more. I don't know where they are in India, but they're not 168% up, Tess. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Bye.
312-981-7200 to see if you got a guess. Wrap it up after this. 30 seconds left in the show. Can we get an answer? 168% up at the grocery store for what item? Rapid fire. Tom, what's your guess?
I'm just wild about saffron.
Great guess. Not the answer. Bill, what's your guess?
Lamb.
Not the answer. Julia, what's your guess?
My guess is sweet sugar.
Great answer. Not the answer. Let's go to Pedro. What's your guess?
Tomatoes.
And that is the answer to the question of the day. You have won. Stay on the line, Pedro. We got John Landecker coming up after this, and we'll see you tomorrow.